during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Israel with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." When Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Loving Father, we thank you for your word that we've just heard. And Lord, we pray that your word will be light to us. We pray that you would help dispel any darkness and you would reveal yourself to us in what we've been listening to. So we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not sure what your tradition is with Christmas decorations. People often say, you know, it's things like it's unlucky to leave them up beyond Twelfth Night, which is Epiphany, which strictly is on the 6th of January, but we brought it forward so we can celebrate it together on a Sunday. But if I'm honest, Ali would really wake up on Boxing Day morning and think, right, Christmas is done. Let's get back to normal. But we had neighbours coming in on Christmas Eve, so they did at least stay up until New Year's morning. It's all gone now. And as quite a few people have said, Christmas seems to be a period that we get through and now we can get back to normal. There's a sense of relief, isn't there? All the overeating. Sorry about that, but we just want to have a rest from it all, catch our breath. And probably for many people, it's back to work tomorrow morning or back to school or back to whatever we're doing. It's going to be a normal week. But then we listen to our readings, and although they're leading us into, in a sense, a slightly different season of Epiphany, they also drag us back, hold us to Christmas as well. Because as we were clearing away on New Year's Day, I couldn't help but notice the number of Christmas cards that had the three wise men on them. You know, camels richly adorned with, you know, colourful tassels and all sorts of stuff. And, you know, they're all dressed as kings with lovely colourful robes. Looks good on a Christmas card, doesn't it? And then they've got their gifts with them as well. And most nativity plays have featured them. So we've come into this season of Epiphany, And we could think of it as a season of revelation of enlightenment. In the Old Service book, we talk about the manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles, all complicated, long words that we probably don't use most of the time. But there is a sense of seeing things in a new light. Something is being shown to us that we didn't know before. Now, sometimes when we make a discovery, it can be sudden and instant. It can be like, Eureka! You jump out of the bath and it's all worked out. Suddenly, the light switch has flicked. But other times, it's different. And Ali and I were coming down to the earlier service and living, as we do, just over the border in Wales, near Whitchurch. When we left, the sun hadn't risen. So the sky was dark, but we could see over in the east, there was a change in colour in the sky. From the sort of near black, it sort of became a blue and a light blue. And then we had to leave, so we were driving off, so it was still quite dark. And then you could see some clouds over in the opposite direction, they had sort of orangey-red tinge to them. And then some clouds nearer to the east, they were turning a violet shade. And then the blue was gradually changing. I was trying to keep my eye on the road as well. But there's something about your eyes are drawn because you know something's going to happen because the light's getting brighter and brighter. And you're just waiting, because you know what's going to happen. You know, you're just waiting for the sun to burst out. But then by that time, we were heading sort of into Market Drayton, so the houses got in the way. But very soon, you could then see that the blue had changed to a bright orange, and the sun was revealed. You could see it, and the light was being shed across the town. So sometimes we learn things to do with faith suddenly, and sometimes it's been there a long time, and it gradually happens. Some of us might have an instant moment of conversion. Others, it's a process. And I think both are entirely valid. So when we think about things being revealed, we think, what is being revealed to us in this season? And because we're in a church, as Catherine will always say, the answer is always Jesus, isn't it? So it's something to do with Jesus. So we think, what is revealed in those readings? I've got a thing about the sun. It's always quite interesting. But today, it's now 2 weeks since the shortest day. So good news for you. The days are getting longer. And Ali and I were just saying yesterday, because the skies have been clearer, it seems a bit lighter in the evening. Just that little bit more. And it feels like there's a bit more hope coming. And we were walking around Dunham Massey, just between Christmas and New Year, and we could see daffodils coming up already. And so even when things seem bleak, there seem to be signs of hope around. The Jewish people have been waiting for hope for hundreds of years, for centuries. There could be 600 years between Isaiah and Matthew, or more. They've been waiting. They've been hoping. So perhaps what's being revealed today is a sense of God's promises are fulfilled. It might take time, but they are fulfilled. But a greater revelation, perhaps, is when we look at the story in Matthew, it's about who is having the revelation. We often think being inclusive is something modern and woke. You can't be doing with it all. You know, got to include everyone. All the sort of things we have to change to make places open and accessible, etc. But perhaps one of the shocks to this story is it's not Jewish men who are coming to find the king. These are magi from the east. They're other. They're different. They're not part of that in-group. And yet, Jesus is being revealed to them. And perhaps, and we heard it really back in the Isaiah that Justin read earlier, about people coming from all the world, not just for a small little nice group, not a clique, people all over the world, that this light is for everyone. And people of other cultures, nationalities are drawn to Jesus. And so for me, that can challenge how I think about how I see myself, how I see other people. What makes them, do I put people into people like me and others? I need to think God has a bigger vision than I do. Perhaps God has a bigger vision than many of us do have. God is inclusive, very inclusive, much more inclusive than we might feel comfortable with. So that's a bit of a discovery for me to reflect on. But for the Magi, this has also been a journey of discovery, and it's a journey that they've stepped out, in some ways, in faith. After all, they're relying on a star for guidance. We read it that that's a divine sign from God to lead them. So we might think, well, how does God guide us today? We don't each have an individual star showing us the way to lead our lives. So how do you look to God for guidance? Is it through reading his word in the Bible? Is it spending time quiet in prayer? Is it listening to the advice of other Christians you sort of trust? Do you rely on dreams or visions? If you speak to a group of Christians, people will feel God leads them in many different ways. And in some ways, I have to open my mind to the possibilities of the means that God might use. Personally, I would first look in the Bible, because that's how my mind works. But that might not be for you. But I think each one of us needs to actually think, how do I look for God's guidance? How am I going to get through 2026 without listening or seeking his help? Do I trust him? Do I trust him that he has a plan, that he will lead me? The Magi did. They stepped out in faith, trusting that they were being led in the right way. It always amazes me these days the sort of sources of influence people rely on. I mean, people are now celebrities because they are influencers. They can tell you almost every aspect of your life, what you should or shouldn't do to it. And none of us really probably know anything about them when they're just a person online. And probably today, you see, some of the influencers are AI-generated anyway. Wow, that's good, isn't it? And people think Christians are mad. Well, I won't say any more. But the Magi were led, and they discovered the one who is going to become known as the light of the world. They had a small star, and they find the brightest light that's going to fill the world. And so we find them arriving in Bethlehem. And it sounds like Christmas again, because they come bearing gifts. And because of nativity plays and cards, you could probably ask almost any grandchild or child or nephew or niece, what gifts did the wise men bring the baby Jesus? And whether they know what they mean or not, they probably get versions of gold, frankincense or Frankenstein or something, and myrrh. And they probably don't really know what they're about. But that's what people think of. They brought gold, frankincense and myrrh. But what was the most important gift they brought? We listened to it before. What do you think was the most important thing that the wise men, the magi, brought to Jesus? Themselves. This is worship. Themselves. Their heart. See, we often think of presents and gifts and things that are valuable as stuff. What can I sort of wrap up? What thing can I give to someone? And often modern Christmases are quite difficult because Ali or whatever will say, oh, no, what would you like for Christmas, Rod? And I think, oh, I don't need more things, really. And probably in today's culture, if you need or want something, you just go and get it anyway. You're not going to wait for a birthday or Christmas. And perhaps these days you see an increase in people gifting experiences or taking someone out for a meal together or a weekend away, you know, spending time with someone. And there's something more precious perhaps in the time that we give to other people rather than the thing we leave with them and they just put in a cupboard and then 5 years later you open the cupboard and think, oh, who gave me that? It's most embarrassing when Ali says, well, I gave you that. So, you know, some of our present givings change slightly. And although we think of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, primarily when the first thing they did that we hear about when they came in and saw the child, they bowed down and worshipped him. I think that can be quite a lesson for me. That's the most important thing, worship. So you might think, well, that's good. An hour a week I could probably manage. And sometimes we've reduced worship into a small sort of token time that we give. But it was the first thing they did. So in many ways, worship becomes the first thing in our lives as well. How can I make Jesus that important in my life? Not just give him what's left over on a quiet Sunday morning, but how every day can I bow down and worship him? That's a challenge to me because, you know, you think, oh, you get up and you get busy and get on with doing things in the day, but how do I include him in all that I do? And as we've just sung, you know, we might not be able to bring a lamb or precious gifts, but we can bring our heart, ourselves, our lives. So this morning, I've just tried to offer a few reflections that came to me as I was looking at our Bible readings. And as I said earlier, you can agree or disagree, and you might think, well, Rod, you didn't explain why gold or frankincense or myrrh were important. But we'll probably sing about them in a bit, and that will tell you if you're wondering. There's lots more in it. And so I'd encourage you to not just put away the readings and, oh, what are we going to have next week, but to keep them with you during the week and just reflect and think about some of the things that God might speak to you in the Isaiah reading and in Matthew 2. You might think, oh, you know them so well. But sometimes rereading them or just spending time with a phrase or a word, all kinds of things can come to you. So I'd encourage you to relook at them again. Don't just listen to what I say. I've just filled a bit of time, but it might spark you off thinking. But let God speak to you as well. What strikes you? Where could he be leading you? How could he be bringing a change to your life? See, we get to New Year and we think, oh, it's a time for new things. The diet's going to start. The gym membership's going to be taken out. And well, let's talk about that again in February, see how that's all going. It might be lasting change, it might not, because come next January, I'll probably be starting the diet again. I won't be spending money on a gym membership, but you know, it just recurs. But just think, how can Jesus bring lasting change to my life? How can he bring light when perhaps things do seem dark around me? Let's pray for a moment. Loving Father, we thank you for your word to us. And I pray that you would help us to open ourselves, our eyes, our ears, our hearts, our minds, to you. And we pray that we would give you time to speak to us, to lead us. And we pray that you would encourage us and help us to be the people that you want us to be. And we pray this in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Rod. So now we're going to stand and confess our faith with the words of the Creed. So we say together, I believe in God, the creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, and suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried.